yes, 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 at last, a destination I know about. For all the times you've come in on my programme, Mark Ferry, and I've had to sit here and go, yes, yeah, this I know about.
Yes, and you've probably been there more than I have as well.
Probably been there. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Really nice to have you back. I sent Mark an emergency message 20 minutes ago saying, have you got anything in your pocket that is chocolatey and possibly called a twirl? And he said, no, but I've got something in glass. Thank you, this is very sweet. You brought me half a bottle of Portuguese white wine. Now, we're going to talk about Lisbon. We're going to talk about the Algarve. We've got some other bits and bobs to tie into as well before you disappear off. We may as well start with wine because in some ways it symbolises the whole Portuguese question, which is that we completely underestimate this country, don't we?
I know. It's right there next to Spain, isn't it? And, you know, everyone goes to Spain. You know, I know a lot of people go to Portugal, but it is so beautiful. You know, I've just come back on Monday, so I'm still sort of, you know, up about it and just really excited, telling everybody how fantastic a time we'd had. And,
the wine, you know, is fantastic.
The wine, you know, it's the thing I loved about it. I mean, I'm a big fan of rosé, for example, you know, this time of year with a bit of sun. I could not believe how much choice there was for rosé
wine.
And
not just that brand.
No, I know. And, you know, there were probably three times as much.
Mateus Rosé. Yeah, but they have lots there, don't they?
Yeah, and, you know, incredibly cheap as well. And, you know, I was looking up on this Vivino app. Have you ever used that? It's really cool, actually. You know, you can rate your wine if you're in a supermarket somewhere and you've got no idea what to go for. You can just like scan a picture of the label and it just tells you amazing thoughts about that wine. So I was doing that around this Portuguese supermarket.
The thing I love about Portugal, and we'll talk specifically about Lisbon now and the Algarve, but they're very modest there. They're proud of their country, but they're very modest, whereas perhaps some other European countries are a little bit bolder in their self-promotion. There's something rather discreet about Portugal, isn't there?
Yeah, I think, you know, it feels almost like how you would imagine Europe must have been when the first package tourists started arriving in these sort of fishing villages. And Portugal, I think, still has that, and particularly on the Algarve there. You find these small, unspoilt towns and where people are really pleased to have you in their towns, and they don't mind sharing their space with you, and they don't mind, you know, queuing up with you in the bakery for custard tarts in the morning.
I've always said this about Portugal, compared to Spain, which I think it's fair to say isn't always particularly kind in terms of the way it welcomes tourists. I've been to Spain and felt quite unwelcome. Portugal is very pleased to have you, isn't it?
It definitely is. I mean, I know that you don't get the numbers there that you do in Spain, and perhaps, you know, Spain may have had a few more decades of coping with that. And, you know, dare I say, it's been overdeveloped in many, many of those big resorts in Spain. But it really feels that actually, you know, they know that tourism is such an important part of their economy. You know, there are other great parts to it as well, but they know that having you there is good for them as well. And it really, really rubs off.
And also, whether by luck or by judgment, unlike Spain, they have limited the height of construction, haven't they? So even on the Algarve, yes, there are a few places where they have gone higher than three or four stories, but a lot of the Algarve is relatively flat in terms of buildings. It doesn't have that jungle effect, does it?
That's right. And you know, when you go to Spain now, you talk to some of the tourism boards there, they're now thinking actually this was a mistake, and they're now trying to sort of roll back some of those developments and making it more like Portugal. So it's an absolutely fantastic place.
Let's do Lisbon.
Yes.
You're going to get fit there, aren't you?
Yeah, so it's one of these cities that's built on seven hills. I mean, you know, aren't all cities built on seven hills? I mean, it seems to be this sort of common theme running out there. But it really does feel like it there. You're sort of constantly going up and down these narrow cobbled streets, but you don't actually mind too much. It's sort of like a hodgepodge of different styles, and you're constantly sort of going around a new corner and finding, you know, all these lovely old buildings with these sort of azulejos. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it. You probably know better than that. The blue tiles. Yeah. These amazing tiled buildings. And you just come on something that's, that, you know, an incredible architectural work of art.
Bridges there, aren't they?
And bridges, yes. So there's the 25th of April bridge. They love naming things after dates. So I lost count of the number of streets that are named after famous dates. But there's the 25th of April bridge, a bit like the Golden Gate Bridge to look at. And the Vasco da Gama Bridge, which you can come up from the Algarve over there as well. It's the second longest bridge in Europe. And do you know what Vasco da Gama is famous for?
He was an explorer, wasn't he?
He was, yeah. He was the first European to find the sea route to India. So this is how Portugal made its name in the sort of in the Middle Ages, because he opened up the sea routes, and so they got the monopoly on pepper and cinnamon, all those lovely spices.
About to say that it was a major trading country, and a lot of Portuguese food is very fusion-y, because it was that sort of turntable of many world cultures.
That's right, and you sort of see it in the names of the places there as well. There are lots of things that begin with Al, you know, like Algarve, I guess, you know, which is the sort of Arabic Moorish influence there, and you can see it in the styles of the buildings and as you say, in the styles of the food as well. It's really different from Spain in that respect.
Very different.
I mean, there are some parts of, you know, Seville and Andalusia, but you know, it really does feel that there's something slightly out of Europe about it.
How did you end up in a brothel, and did Claire know about it?
It was her who recommended it, actually.
There you go. I've always had my suspicions.
Lisbon has got this reputation now being, you know, the hottest city break in Europe at the moment. And a lot of that is around these sort of restaurants and bars that you can go to. And it's got this place called Penchawa Amor, which is a former brothel, which is now turned into this incredible cocktail bar. And it's got all sort of overstuffed sofas and armchairs and, you know, big framed paintings on the wall. Really, really cool place. And I think the woman who used to be the madam there is still running the place.
That's amazing.
It's a fantastic story. And we went to another great cocktail bar as well. There's a shopping centre in the centre there. And they've found this little space on the top of the shopping centre and turned it into this really cool bar with also pallets that you can sit on, and you know, incredibly cheap as well. So, you know, it's full of students sort of enjoying, you know, weekends away and things like that.
These pastel de nata, famous custard tarts.
I almost brought some back for you, and I just thought they wouldn't survive the 2 days in our house before I had to bring them in.
Belém is where they're from, isn't it?
Yeah, so Belém, that's like one of the big sort of tourist attractions of Lisbon. There's the Tower of Belém, which is right by the Tagus River. That fantastic old building, and it's right by the monastery of Geronimo, and that's where the pastel de nata custard tarts were first made, and then sort of cracked down on the religious orders. They stopped making them there, but this little pastry shop in Belém started selling them, and now, you know, queues around the block to go and get them. But if you don't want to queue up there, there's a great one called Fábrica de Nata in the centre, on one of the main streets of the Praça dos Restauradores, where there are all the sort of lovely open air restaurants all the way down the middle of this cobbled street, and at the end of it there's this place that you can actually see them making them, and so they've got a big bowl of sort of egg custard, and it was fantastic there, and you can have them still warm as well, which is a real treat.
Did you go to Sintra, which is not far away?
I did, yeah. World Heritage site. It has so much going for it. It's only about half an hour out of Lisbon, so if you've hired a car, or you can get a bus very easily. There, it's got these lovely old palaces and fortresses, all sort of dotted around on the hills, and it's very green, verdant as well, which was a real surprise to me. You know, just you were thinking, you know, Portugal is going to be like really sort of arid. Not at all. It's a real sort of lovely sort of hill town that people from Lisbon sort of escape to. In the heat of the summer, in these incredible houses. And the one that we visited was the Quinta de Regulera, which is it seems like a bit of a folly that some millionaire built a couple of centuries ago. Looks like a hammer house of horror, but it's got all these like little weird things in the gardens, like grottos and wells and tunnels and hidden waterfalls and all things like that. So we spent an afternoon there just running around with the kids. It was fantastic.
And 100 quid to go there, isn't it? If that, you got very, very reasonable flights from Luton.
Absolutely, yeah. So EasyJet, regular flights through the day. We actually flew with TAP from Heathrow. Their flights are very cheap. It was quite a revelation, actually,
Ryanair
going on
a
legacy airline for the first time for ages.
An actual national airline.
And actually getting a meal.
Yeah.
And being able to check your suitcase into the hold as well.
I will say as well, I'll do that when we talk about the Algarve. We'll say Faro Airport is a very, very fine airport. We'll do the Algarve after the news headlines at 2:30. Mark Frary is in the studio talking about travel plans. places to go and why you should go there. Dave the Cake wants to know about Ukraine and Georgia. That will put you on the spot. We'll do that after 1:30 as well. You're listening to BBC Three Counties Radio with me, Nick Coffer. Appropriately, I didn't do it deliberately, Sky High. Sky High, it's Jigsaw. Mark, you're quite liking the themed music. It wasn't deliberate, by the way. Really, really wasn't.
You have to break your phone every week.
Oh, yes, this, right? Yes. Yeah. Have you seen it, by the way? Look, when I said it was, look at that.
Oh, yes.
I've done that a good one, haven't I?
That looks expensive. It's one of those big screens as well.
It is a big screen on a big phone. Actually, yeah. I should just say, Steph sent me this. This tickled me. I'm talking about smashing my phone when I sat on it this morning. Where have we got? Steph says, yeah. Hi, Nick. Listen to your program. I'm sorry to hear about your phone accident. If I can try to uplift your mood, then I will say that we are welcoming you into the club of those who managed to turn their phone into a Swarovski special edition.
At a fraction of the cost.
At a fraction of the cost. Just a little bit heavy to wear around the neck. Right, we'll head off to the Algarve next remark. Talk about Hilton's 100th anniversary, Swiss trains as well, and all sorts of other wonderful things. You're listening to BBC Three Counties Radio. We mean it, Coffer.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Beds, hearts and bucks travel.
On a slightly more prosaic and local level, here's Emma.
Thanks very much, Nick. Well, I'm just watching a build-up in Rickmansworth this afternoon. The A404 is currently queuing northbound. That's with delays heading up towards the Moor Lane junction. It's all because of the temporary traffic lights causing a build-up there just near to the golf club. Now, over in St Albans and London Road, that's heavy in both directions. Between the High Street and Almon Road, it's down to the roadworks in the area. And roadworks are also causing problems in Leighton Buzzard. Now, that's along Wing Road. It's slow moving in both directions between Victoria Road and Leighton Road. Emma Tinson, BBC Three Counties Radio.
Across Beds, hearts and bucks.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
It's 1:30, I'm Jane Killick. A 20-year-old man has been found guilty of murdering a drug dealer outside his girlfriend's home in London Colney. Anis Anderson fatally stabbed Ansarullah Nawazi while robbing him of cocaine and cash. The inquest into the death of Love Island star and former Stevenage footballer Mike Thalassist has concluded he died by suicide. The 26-year-old was found dead in a park in North London in March. The Queen has joined hundreds of veterans at a national commemorative ceremony in Portsmouth to honour those who fought in the D-Day landing 75 years ago. World leaders representing the 16 allied nations involved in what was known as Operation Overlord were in the audience for the event. And the telecoms firm BT has announced plans to close 270 of its offices as part of a consolidation plan which will leave it with around 30 sites by 2023. 30,000 staff are affected, but BT say they will be given the chance to relocate to one of the new centres. The weather for Beds, Hearts and Bucks, sunny spells this afternoon. Those are the headlines. The next bulletin is at 2.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
Nick Coffer.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions have an echo in so much space. And when you're out there without care, yeah, I was out of touch. But it wasn't because I didn't know enough. I just knew too much.
Niles Barkley, Crazy. It's Wednesday afternoon on BBC Three Counties Radio, covering Beds, Hearts and Bucks. I'm Nick Coffer, he's Mark Frary. Mark is the travel writer, family travel writer for 101holidays.co.uk and lots of other bits.
Yes.
Can be found writing about journeying in various publications. That's not the most catchy Twitter handle,
no,
is it?
No, it's too long to fit on a business card, isn't it?
David Cake says, a puncture for me this morning. There you go. So I've had my phone smashed.
What music would you have to that then?
What, for a punctured tyre?
Yeah.
I don't know, but it'd probably be, it would probably be flat. It would probably be flat. I don't even know why I'm laughing at my own joke. Come on. Tyre puncture song. Come on, you threw it out there.
I didn't think of one before I said it. So
It needs a song with rubber in it or...
Yeah. Tired.
Yeah. Or did I say tired of waiting? Yeah. We're available in the evenings and for weddings and bar mitzvahs. No, right. He says, so I've had a puncture. Dave the Cake and Sam, lovely Sam, long suffering, much putting up with Sam, said, we're on tour this year to the Ukraine and Georgia. Have we picked well?
I think certainly in terms of good value destinations, Georgia. it's somewhere that I've always wanted to go, and it's on the Silk Road. You know, we were talking earlier on about the the spice routes from over the sea from India to Portugal, but back in the day, that was the main trade route across Central Europe, and so it's got some fantastic food, all these sort of similar to sort of like Persian curry type things,
really?
And it was the allegedly the home of wine viniculture,
and they stole our flag.
Yes, yeah, there are not many options though. I suppose we've come up with a new one since then. But
what about the Ukraine?
Kiev, fantastic, capital city, not a nice short break destination, a bit longer than your usual sort of thing, like Lisbon, that's like 2.75 hours, that's more,
four and a half,
yeah. So, loads of interesting stuff there, and all of these sort of former Soviet republics have, got a really sort of interesting mix of, old and new.
Some of the hotels
buildings.
Can feel a little bit grey, can't they?
They can, but really, really interesting place, and the people are fantastic. I know a few people from the area, and really nice. I think they'll have a great time, to be honest.
Let's go back to the Algarve.
Yes,
I may have mentioned a few times today. I love the Algarve.
The reason why lots of people like it, I think I was on here a couple of months ago, and we talked about this post office report about how far your holiday money goes, and and it's the second cheapest place in Europe to go on holiday. It is so cheap. It's
and did you find it when you were there?
Absolutely. So it's the sort of place where you can go out, and it's a euro for a small beer, and 30 euros for a very, very nice dinner for two.
Yeah.
Fish, all that sort of thing, a bottle of wine.
I wonder whether part of the reason the Algarve suffered, tragic as it is the Madeleine McCann story, because, that's now going back 10 years, maybe 9 years. That was a very, very difficult time in terms of publicity for the area. I'm not talking about the case itself, it goes without saying. But it didn't do well after that, did it?
It's one of these things, isn't it? You just think, no matter what your thoughts are on that case, it's always going to sort of have some of that, sort of feeling of bad luck rubbing off on it. You're thinking, is that going to happen to me if I take my family there?
And then there were stories about paedophile rings and all sorts of things.
And my daughter, she's just been watching that documentary that's been on Netflix that many of your listeners, I'm sure, have tuned into as well.
Unlike her, to be on her iPad.
She said, "Why are you bringing me here?" And I was saying, "Well, because it's fantastic, and it's really cheap, and it's beautiful, and the people are lovely, as we've said." So,
it was a one-off case in a part of the world, and one-off cases happen. That's just a fact of life. So, why do we love the Algarve? Apart from the fact it's cheap, can I throw one in that you won't know about because you flew in and out of Lisbon, Faro Airport? Brilliant. It's one of those really, really, really easy airports. And I've flown in and out of it a few times in my life. It is, and they've just extended it. It's well organised, never big queues, car hurries. It's just a really good place to fly. And also, it's only 2 hours. It's a straight line.
Motorways are fantastic, aren't they?
Time zone, yeah. Time zone.
Yeah.
Now, as parents of young children, you know that sometimes that hour can be a right old pain.
Trying to get the kids in bed at the end of the holiday, and you say, you've got school tomorrow.
Yeah, back to old time. So where were you? You were near Luge, weren't you?
So we're literally in the next village along, and we went through Luge many times in that. Burgau is, it's really sort of a small Portuguese village, not much development there. There's a few sort of villas, lots of traditional old shops and restaurants there. It doesn't feel as though it's been taken over by the, full English breakfast brigade. So,
Night, do you remember the Peter Kay sketch, the garlic bread sketch? Yeah. Took my father to the local restaurant. So go on. So it hasn't quite... Hello, we have invasion. You can come in. So just to explain, come in and say hello. I don't. So this is Nigat, our doctor. Come in, Nigat. Right. So what have we got? Hello. Don't worry about live radio. You're right, Nigat. First of all, Eid Mubarak to you.
Eid Mubarak. Thank you for having us.
Hello, family.
Sorry about this.
No problem.
So Adam's over there in Toby's arms, and who are the other two?
So that's Harris, the older one. Hello. He's 8. He's a rapper. He says.
Wow.
Don't press that button. There we go.
There's Kasim, who's 4,
Kasim.
And that's my husband Khalid.
By the way, I mean, just between you and I, no one's listening, he's much better looking than you said he was going to be.
He's very handsome. I've done well.
Why are you here? What is the gate crashing?
I've brought you some chocolates.
See?
I brought you some chocolates. It's for Eid, so I thought I'd pop in and say hello.
What happens for you now? Because obviously you're through the end of Ramadan.
Yeah.
What happens now?
So essentially today is a day of eating, feasting and spending time with friends. So we thought we'd come and say hello to you guys.
Hold on a minute. We've had a button pressed and I can hear stuff in my... Hold on. Now, OK, allow me to...
I'm so sorry.
Allow me to explain. Two things have happened concurrently there. One is your son pressed a button, right?
Oh, God.
And the other is my screen has gone black. So I can't see anything. So I think that was the Rolling Stones. I'll turn the telly back on. There we go.
Please put him in handcuffs. You're allowed to put the four-year-old in handcuffs.
So God, it's the end of the fast.
So it's the end of Ramadan. So that's a month long of austerity, not eating very much, and essentially a month full of sort of making sure we don't have food.
Yeah.
From sunrise to sunset. And actually, it's been really, really good because there's so many health benefits in regards to that. So just detoxing away from food. And also, because you know, both of us, we're very much foodies. And I realised how much... Chocolaties.
Yeah.
And I realised how much food takes up my life. I hadn't realised. I seem to think about food, write about food, plan and cook food. And then when you don't have that for a month, you end up finding that actually there's a lot more time that you have to do other things.
Very interesting.
So Ramadan's just finished today for us and we celebrated Eid. So we've done a lot of prayers at the mosque. We went to the family. And again, life revolves around food. So we've had lots of food. Pakoras, samosas, tandoori chicken, you name it.
Tonight is a huge feast, is it?
Oh yeah, huge feast with all our family. Because there's about 11 of us in our family and we'll be... 12. Oh, look. This is why I should never come on the radio with your children.
Now, listen, just before you go, and don't worry, no one will hear this, but this big feast tonight, which I'm imagining will be one huge dining table of serve yourself. So just the address is where? So it's 17...
I'll have to give that to you off air.
Right, nice to see you.
I brought you chocolates.
Brought chocolates. I was actually saying to Mark earlier on that we needed chocolates. So
welcome.
This is the first in 10 years I've never had my show gate crashed by a six-year-old.
I am so sorry.
I saw that door open. I thought, what's happening? Nice to see you.
We were hoping to stay on the other side.
When are you back in, by the way?
Wednesday next week, I'm in, and we'll take lots of health questions.
I will look forward to it.
I promise my children won't gate crash that.
No, you can do what you want. You are now free to leave the studio. Nice to
meet you. Eid Mubarak, everybody.
Oh, lovely to see you, Nika, and your beautiful family. Mark, so where were we? So is it... By the way, it's all very well saying there is chocolate, but it's not actually here. Right. Thank you.
No, that was great. We should have had it on the webcam as well. I don't know if you've got that anymore. But
between you and I, we love Nigan. She's brilliant. So she's back next Wednesday. She's our GP from Amersham. So
So we were just finished off talking about Faro and just
easy to get through.
The motorways are just... it's so easy to get onto anywhere along the Algarve.
So you were in Burgau.
Yeah.
talking of food there with Nigat there, the Algarve, I mean, fish, it's amazing for fish, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, you get, you know, you're actually sitting in these restaurants and you can see the boat on the beach.
Yeah.
But actually brought that in that morning and you have people sort of in Burgau. There was a guy, you know, the fisherman there with his little electric van.
Yeah.
And, you know, he'd just come in that morning and there was the stuff, you know, so fresh and so cheap.
Grilled by a man in a string vest over a barrel.
And what I loved about these restaurants is that they were full of Portuguese people. It wasn't just tourists like us, you know. They were people who were, you know, genuinely wanting to be there and, you know, loving all this fresh fish. They're one of the biggest consumers of fish in the world.
And why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, cod, sea bass, sardines, everything.
Did you notice how white the fish is when it comes up grilled? Because it's so fresh. Did you notice it was just like... it's like marble, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, it just makes you feel, you know, somewhere like the Three Counties, which is so landlocked.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fish you get here. You know, there are some great fish restaurants here, but, you know, it's not the same as seeing it, you know, just as it's been caught.
Look, here's the thing, right? 30 euros a kilo, and probably less, actually, for a gilt-head bream or a stone bass, right? They grill it in front of you. They serve it with an Algarve salad. They serve it with freshly cut chips. And you said 30 quid a head for two. Easily. I used to go out with me and my three children there. And the four of us, we'd have a big slab of fish. £35 easily.
I tell you what I love there as well, the potatoes. I mean,
yeah.
You know, they have these like really sort of creamy and fluffy boiled potatoes. Yeah, and you just think that sounds really boring. When they come, they are delicious.
With white onions and a little vinaigrette, yeah. Algarve salad and parsley. Okay, I want to go back. Bottom line, for you who is so incredibly well-travelled, and you are, there is still something magical about that part of the world, isn't there?
Absolutely. I definitely want to go back sometime soon.
Ah, look, chocolates have arrived. What have we got, Cole? Wow.
Aero Bliss and Kit Kat Sixes.
Kit Kat Sixes and Aero Bliss. Oh, now, just to be clear, I'm not going to eat all of these. Double chocolate. Mark, shall we play a song?
Shall we just take this opportunity to play a song?
Yes, I've got Rolling Stones, Angie, which you've already heard 15 seconds of because Negat's little boy pressed the button by accident. It's BBC Three Counties Radio with me, Nick Coffer. Slightly chaotic momentarily, but delight to see Negat come into the studio. We've got a few little extra travel tidbits to come, haven't we, Mark, after the Rolling Stones. It is, Angie. And now I've got to choose. I've got either Aero Bliss or Kit. I think we're going to be just fine, Mark.
Angel, Angel, when will those clouds all disappear? Angel, thank you.
Mark and I are much happier, aren't we, Mark?
I know, just trying to sort of finish my mouthful before microphone came.
We've had chocolate and we're much happier. That was the Rolling Stones. This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Saturday mornings from 9. It's the battle of the two radio stations and the quest to find the treasure first.
Treasure Quest!
Let's just look at where we've been this morning. Ovid, Hogshaw, Thornborough, Milton Keynes, Hanslow, in Northamptonshire, Salgrave, Canons Ashby, Lichborough, Abington and Wellingborough. We've upset vegans.
There's a fair amount we can get into trouble for today.
Treasure Quest.
Oh, we might have taken a picture of Mummy with his long lens camera.
Glad you didn't say wide lens.
Saturday morning from 9.
There's loads of kids looking at the birds, man, and we cannot go down there with a car because we'll knock them all over.
Why are we suddenly entering an episode of Biker Grand?
Treasure Quest.
BBC Three Counties Radio.
Nick Coffer.
Across Beds, Hearts and Bucks.
This is BBC Three Counties Radio.
Right, Mark. Let's do a little bit of travel titbittery, shall we?
Yes.
Hilton, that's a word.
Actually, I just wanted to mention something else first, if you don't mind. This is a bit of a plug by my friend Cash App. The reason I mention him is because he is a huge Portugal fan. He's been to Lisbon loads of times and spent lots of time there. He is a travel blogger who writes under the name of The Budget Traveller. So if you're interested in cheap travel trip tips, he's the person to follow. He has just launched a new book called The Grand Hostels, which is about this sort of growing trend of luxury hostels around the world, which someone has called poshtels, which he really hates that term, but it's these sort of fantastic old buildings that have been done up and maybe have slightly less space than you would in a hotel.
Yeah.
But he's written this, he researched and written this fantastic book, and he is launching that tonight at Stanford's. I don't know if you've been to
travel
Stanford's,
books,
but it's one of the most fantastic bookshops in London. So loads of maps and things like that, and he's talking about his book tonight at 7 o'clock, and I know there are tickets still available. £4.
The Grand Hostels,
yes.
Kashyap Bhattacharya, and that's at Stanford tonight, £4 if you want to go and do that.
And you get a free glass of wine if you have a £4 ticket.
100 years old Hilton.
I know, it's hard to believe, isn't it? And 1919 as well. You just can't imagine many people sort of setting up new companies at around that time, just the end of the First World War. But 100 years of Hilton hotels, and they were started in this place called Cisco in Texas. I don't know if it's related to the technology the same name, but their first hotel was the Mobley Hotel, but unfortunately you can't actually stay there anymore. It's now been turned into a museum. But
Conrad, wasn't it?
Conrad Hilton, yeah, so you get Conrad hotels as well, sort of named after him as well. And Paris Hilton, I guess, as well.
Yes, when you look at the hotel chains of the world, Hilton is the one that has survived the longest in many ways. I mean, obviously, Marriott's go back away as well, but Hilton really has ridden several recessions and several changes of world power. And
I know, and I mean, these days it's got nearly 6,000 hotels around the world, and it's being introduced into new places all the time. I mean, I've been looking at a lot of these companies recently. They're massively into opening up places in China, in cities that you and I have probably never heard of as tourists at destinations, but they're sort of real sort of cutting edge things, and they're opening hundreds of these things every year in these places.
Swiss trains.
Yeah, I like this. So,
this is a quick one. This one.
So this is the Glacier Express. You must have seen this in any sort of Swiss brochure. It's the most amazing sort of scenic railway route through the centre of Europe, and you just end up seeing all the glaciers from. You start in St Moritz and you go to Zermatt and the Matterhorn, and it's got these sort of glass roof to the train. This is a fantastic train ride anyway, but they've literally just launched this new class called Excellence Class, it's just like taking it to a completely new level, and you have like a red carpet on the platform taking you to your carriage. There are only 20 seats on the train. They're all window seats, you get a butler serving you champagne and everything like this. It's just stupendous. It's not cheap though. It's 420 Swiss francs on top of the first class rail fare for a one-way journey.
But what is a franc to it? It's almost one-to-one, is it? Or sort of,
yeah, so in total, I mean, one-way journey on that is like £565. So, you know, it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. If you're a railway enthusiast, this is like one of the must-do rail journeys.
Would you recommend it?
Absolutely. It's like 91 tunnels through the mountains, 300 bridges, and it's got that sort of iconic sort of viaduct picture that you always see when they're talking about Swiss railway trains, and that's the one. So you know, if you love old trains and seeing you know, mountainous scenery, that's the number one on the list.
There's a website, isn't there?
Yeah, glacierexpress.ch.
I quite like the sound of that. I just don't have £700 for a one-way trip to do it. It seems a fairly quick space of time to spend a fairly large chunk of money. So what did we say? Yes, we did Lisbon, built on the Seven Hills, of course. Go and visit the São Jorge Castle. You've got did we say Azulejos? Or I don't know.
Azulejos.
The
tile buildings. Yeah, there's a tile museum there as well. It must be one of the only places in the world with a tile museum. Really interesting.
You've got your bridges, your Pensão Amor, the former brothel, which is now a bar with sofa and armchairs. You can go and have your Pastel de Nata as well if you head out to Belém, and go and have a look at Sintra as well. Drive down to the Algarve. By the way, it's a 2-hour and 10-minute drive, isn't it? It's a nice, clean, clear, open
motorway. Hardly any traffic on the roads.
Yeah, straight down.
And tolls are really cheap as well.
Yeah. Mark stayed in Burgau next to Lourdes, ate lots and lots of fish, and discovered, as the post office report did say, that it's incredibly cheap there. Hilton, 100 years old, 5,700 hotels they've got around the world, and Swiss trains, if you want to go on the Glacier Express, go to glacierexpress.ch. And Kashyap Bhattacharya, his new book, Grand Hostels, is out today. Luxury hostels, which sounds like a contradiction in terms if ever there was one, Mark. Can we find you and your musings?
Yeah, markferry.com or 101holidays.co.uk.
And you're on Twitter, aren't you?
At Mark Ferry, and on Instagram as well.
Where are you going to next?
I knew you were going to ask this.
Yeah.
You're going to be jealous again, I'm afraid.
Oh, okay.
I'm off to St. Lucia. so I'm doing some work.
Turn his microphone off. I've actually deliberately turned his microphone. You can't hear him. He's talking about... Okay, Mark, go on, sorry.
Yes, I'm doing some work with the Tourism Authority to write a guidebook about St. Lucia, so I'm off there next week.
So when the St. Lucia Tourist Board drop your note and say, "Dear Mark, we would like to employ you to write a tourist book about St. Lucia," how many days do you have to be there to...
So I'm going for a week initially.
An initial week.
And and obviously talking to a lot of people. And so I'm going to go and meet the people from the jazz festival, so the, you know, famous jazz musicians, and you know, the food and the music scene.
Thing. So you'll tell us all about that next time.
I will do.
That sounds brilliant. That's a great project. Lovely to have had you in the studio
Thanks very much.